Flames get set to host the LA Kings tonight. Team USA gets set to host the Women's World Championship beginning on Friday in Michigan. Now, this nearly didn't happen, or at least there wouldn't have been American participation if a deal was not struck yesterday between USA Hockey and the Women's National Team. Cassie Campbell-Pascal joins us down the South Street Burger guest hotline, of course, from Hockey Night in Canada. But more importantly, and still my favorite bit of trivia on her, the most decorated captain in Canadian hockey history, nationally, internationally, I should say. How are you?
Good. I still think you make that up, but I'm not going to correct you.
No, I'm just, you tell me what captain internationally has been more decorated than you. I for this country, haven't found them. Haven't found them, Cap. I'll go with that.
I have a feeling Marie-Philippe Poulin or Sidney Crosby will surpass that number of Olympic medals captained, I guess. But that's all right. I'll take it while I can get it. Thank you, Rob.
I was just going to say, there's still time for a comeback, and if you'd like to announce that today on my program, I will take that.
I could be the water girl for these girls, or who knows, maybe I'll coach down the road, but right now, it's not in the cards, so it's just a lot of fun watching, and I look forward to watching on Friday, Canada-US, it'll be a good first game.
A couple of weeks ago, you were kind enough to join us when news broke that the U.S. Women's National Team was essentially not going to show up at the World Championships, first time it was ever going to be held in the United States, I believe, over a dispute, an ongoing negotiation with USA Hockey. And I know throughout this, it's been, how do you describe it, portrayed as all about wages. And I suppose that was part of it. But, Cassie, you were the first kind of to point out that, no, it goes a little bit beyond just what a salary was involved, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I think the quote that came out of USA Hockey's upper echelon people sort of said it all. You know, it basically said, we're better today for this. And I just think it really opened the eyes to USA Hockey about the commitment these girls are giving them. You know, it's basically a full-time commitment. They, you know, can't get a full-time job, and it, you know, it's just kind of opened their eyes as to some of the support that they need, and I think how they can help them, how can they help them grow the game. And, you know, I know we talked about the last time we were talking about how, you know, not many people watching, it's not a big business. Well, how does it ever become a big business if someone like a USA Hockey doesn't get involved at the grassroots level and start it? And so I think, you know, I think it's a big win for women's hockey, for women's sport. And again, I really have to give a shout out to Cammy Granata, who I think personally sacrificed her position on the team way back in 2006 and fought behind the scenes. And she wrote a great article today. You go to @CammyGranata Twitter feed, and it really says it all about some of the things that they tried to do back in the day. And today it happened. And so it's just really exciting for women's sport and of course women's hockey, because without USA there, you know, this world championship looks a little bit different.
So when you say Cammy Granato sacrificed herself, give us a little bit of the background there. What do you mean in 2006?
Well, she was unceremoniously let go. I mean, she trained the whole summer as if she was trying out for the Olympic team, and they ended up having a two-week camp coming out of the summer to sort of select their Olympic program roster, and within the week and a half she was let go. And you know, for someone who is such a, you know, strong advocate, arguably one of the best players in the world, one of the first to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and everything she did for Team USA, and sort of to be let go like that, you knew there was sort of something going on behind the scenes. And my understanding is that in 2000, on behalf of the team, you know, she sort of helped send a letter to USA Hockey about some of the things they're hoping for and to change, and it was received with a lot of negativity. And, you know, she wrote about it in her blog, if you will. You know, the coach basically said, this is going to lose us the gold medal in 2002. And the amount of blame that they put on her and just really didn't even keep the door open for any sort of conversation. And then to let her go the way they did, it was, you know, you look back now and she really sacrificed her position on the team for what happened here yesterday. And, you know, that's 11 years ago now. So, you know, I just can't say enough about her. And I hope that, I know all the USA girls know exactly who she is, and they look up to her, and Hillary Knight wears 21 because of Cammy Granato. But I hope everyone in this country even understands what she's done for the game and how great of a player and a person she was.
Cassie Campbell-Pascoe, our guest on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Cassie, we talked off the air a little bit yesterday, and I do want to give you just an opportunity to kind of comment on kind of the support that the women got in this. I'm not sure that 10, 15, 20 years ago they would have gotten the same support, but this day and age, it must have been somewhat gratifying to see, you know, the NHL players, U.S. men's national team players, politicians. They garnered a lot of support.
You know, they really did, and I think that's, you know, listen, when it first happened, I had a small part of me that was like, oh boy, this could be really bad for the game, this could be bad for their program, and, you know, I guess you always kind of think like that, and when you're fighting for things, you make those hard decisions in hard times, and then to watch the support come out, the Mia Hams of the world, and, you know, I don't put much into U.S. politics these days, but to have those 14 senators come out, both male and female, I thought that was a big step, and Mike Ruzioni, and, you know, some of the male players started talking about it, and, you know, over the last 2 weeks, I've talked to a bunch of the male USA players, and, you know, even some of the things that they're not happy about with their program, so, you know, they just really, they were behind these girls 100%, and I, you know, I walked into a dressing room to get, you know, scoops and details from the players of the games I was doing, and all they wanted to talk to me about was the boycott, and they were interested in it, they wanted to know more about it, and in particular the U.S. players, so it was kind of a fun couple of weeks learning about their program and how different it is, and I've kind of known that through my husband's involvement with Hockey Canada and the family programs that they put on at the World Championships and stuff. It's so much better than what any other country does, but you know, they don't get as much as our men's team does. And so, you know, we were just talking about that and kind of laughing about that. And you know, it was pretty entertaining for me, actually, to find out that for the men's U.S. players to go to a world championship and they want to fly first class, they have to pay the difference between an economy flight and a first class flight. And they don't get to do it just, you know, first class. That's how it is. So, it was an eye-opener for me to learn about their program as well.
Cassie, just your thought from your perspective on what this does for other programs. First of all, Canada, and I know when we talked a couple weeks ago, you were quick to point out that, you know, the Canadian women's program and Hockey Canada has an agreement and they've, you know, been proactive at working through this. But does this agreement impact Canadian players at all, do you think? Does it impact the Canadian program? Does it force Hockey Canada at all to reevaluate or evaluate what they're doing?
Well, it really would have impacted them, I think, you know, had USA not been there. I mean, they would have performed and prepared just like they would have. But, you know, those are two of the four games that they're going to play would probably be against the USA and two of the greatest games you can play in women's hockey. And to not have that happen and for, you know, Melody Davidson and her staff not to be able to see those two games and evaluate, you know, they have four rookies this year. So, you know, that could have had an impact going into an Olympic year. You know, my understanding is the agreement with Hockey Canada the players is done for the next Olympics here. But sure, I think the Canadian girls look at this and the High Performance Committee looks at this and goes back to Hockey Canada and tweaks a few things. And, you know, I know they've already been sort of fighting for first class and their own hotel rooms. And, you know, those are all the wish list type of things. And you know, that's already mm-hmm. been in talks. And but just, you know, sure, I think it does. And I also think this whole scenario and the way it happened, I think for any national sport organization out there, everyone's looking at how they treat their female athletes, you know, and boy, this could be us. You know, this poor performance or poor press, if you will, could be aimed at us. So, you know, as I said, it's a big thing for women's sport. It's really opened the eyes that we're not expecting millions of dollars. We get it. You know, we understand the business aspects of it. But I think for people just to understand the commitment that these girls put in, these women put in, it's a full-time commitment, and they should be paid as such. And that's what I think the USA Women's Hockey proved. And let's face it, Rob, now it's Finland's turn. Now it's Sweden's turn. And we as women's hockey fans, we really need those countries to start stepping up. And quite frankly, I was extremely disappointed about how the IIHF sounded like a bunch of crickets through this entire thing. And, you know, there was going to be a sanction against Team USA, USA Hockey, for $30,000 if they didn't have a team. But, boy, they got off pretty light with all this. They don't do a ton for women's hockey. They put on camps here or there, and they, you know, bring the world together in places, and they, you know, kind of make it look good. But the IIHF has to start, you know, talking the talk and walking the walk and doing a lot more for women's hockey than they do, and they really need to put pressure on some of these European associations to even start supporting their women's programs.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that was going to be my next question, and we've had this conversation for a long time now. And, you know, let me be specific. This is Rob Kerr's opinion, not Cassie Campbell-Pascal's, but my opinion has been that, quite honestly, the IIHF has been somewhat fraudulent in all of this, somewhat of a sham when it comes to the women's game, because if it wasn't two of the biggest powerhouses in the world pushing this game along, the IIHF would have done nothing and has done nothing to really champion the cause. It's really come because of Hockey Canada. And here we are talking about, you know, Hockey US or USA Hockey, but they've also been a role in that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I'm going to ask you about the Olympics in a second, but that at some point that needs to be addressed too.
Oh, without question. And I was kind of disappointed that throughout all of this, that didn't get brought up more. And, I kept looking at their Twitter feed and looking for, you know, we support the women's program, or I kept looking for something, just something, you know, and there was nothing. And, they're in negotiations now, as we all know, in the IOC with the NHL, and I know the NHL has our backs, and, you know, people have talked about taking women's hockey out of the, you know, the Olympics, and I know probably 10 to 15 of NHL's request is that women's hockey stays, and they do have our back in that regard. But, you know, the IHF has to do a lot better job, and they, you know, even they host these different, I don't know what you want to call them, clinics, if you will, where they bring Canadian and USA players over and coaching staffs and members of the USA Hockey and Hockey Canada staffs over, and they try to develop the game over there. But they're these one-week, one-off programs, and quite frankly, I just don't simply think that they do enough to put some pressure on these organizations. You know, I even had one strange idea that, you know, if your men's team is ranked five, then your women's team has to be ranked 5 to 7 at least behind them. And if they're not, then they get sanctioned and they can't go to the men's worlds. And, you know, so maybe that pushes like the Finlands and the Swedens and the Russias and the Czech Republic to support their women's program, because there's a sanction. If their women's program isn't ranked high enough, well, or close enough to their men's program, well, then the men's program feels it, you know. And I know that sounds extreme, but sometimes in these cases and sometimes with the people you're dealing with, like what the USA Hockey women's team did, leave, you know, fighting right till this last minute, that's what it takes to make change. And I've been extremely disappointed in the IHF and the fact that they haven't said a lot or done a lot. And I really think they got off the hook on this one.
Just to deviate for a second, since you brought it up and you've been there, you know what it's all about. Where are you in terms of NHL participation in the Olympics and kind of the timeline and the deadlines we're dealing with right now, Cassie?
Well, I think it's going to happen. I mean, we've kind of seen this before, what, the last couple Olympics anyway, where it was sort of down to the last minute as far as preparation. And I know that sometimes Hockey Canada, and I'm sure they're doing it now, where they're already trying to pick another team in case the NHL players don't go. But, you know, the top players want to go, and I think that's important, and that speaks volumes. And, you know, especially the European players, it's not much more important than them than the North American teams. But, you know, for them to be able to go back and represent their countries, you know, they're away from home, they're away from their countries, they're away from the grassroots and supporting that, you know, during their NHL season. So, you know, it means a lot for them to go back and play for their countries. And, you know, I know the travel's far and I know all those things, but let's face it, these guys are going to get chartered back and forth by their owners, and they're going to find ways to make it easier for them. And, you know, Hockey Canada will find ways to make those flights the most, you know, the easiest that they can make and get these players back. And I know there's always a risk of injuries, and, you know, Team Canada saw it with John Tavares last time around. And but I just think they're going to go. I think it does a lot for the game to have them there. And I think Gary knows that, but I think Gary's also smart enough to know that, hey, we're not paying for all this and we're not going for free. Like, it is a business, and that's his right as the commissioner. But I in my gut, it says I believe they're going to go.
Well, I'm glad we're having this conversation today, because as we discussed originally, you know, let's make sure we follow this right through to the end. Now, the Women's Worlds start on Friday. You've been through this before. Do you, not this part, but, you know, a championship like this, do you think there might be you know, a spinoff of this because of the attention this, you know, this debate, this argument has gotten, that maybe there will be more eyeballs on this particular event?
I think so, for sure. And, you know, especially just the way the format has been over the last, you know, bunch of years, where Canada and U.S. play right off the hop and they're in the same pool, and, you know, then there's that potential of them meeting in the gold medal game again. And, you know, I'm curious to see how Team USA plays. Like, listen, that group showed they are together, and what they did as an entire group by not sort of wandering off and one person coming back, I mean, they just showed some solidarity that, you know, was pretty incredible. So I'm curious to see how they play, you know, after dealing with sort of this stressful thing here and getting close to the wire and finally getting a deal done that first game. They're either going to be lights out, or they're going to struggle that first game just to, as of, you know, there's still been so much heat on their shoulders over the last, you know, months or so. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. I watch it. I know it's on TSN. It doesn't matter. I watch it religiously, and if I'm not home, I'm taping it. And, you know, I know my former teammate Cheryl Pounder and Tessa Bonhomme will be there. And it's our Stanley Cup and our, you know, our Super Bowl. It's a big deal for these girls. And I really hope Finland, Sweden's in the other pool because they played so poorly at the last championship. But I really hope we start to see some push from Finland and Sweden and Russia and, you know, teams like that. We really need it.
Good stuff, Cassie. Thanks for giving us some time today.
No problem. Thanks, Rob, for having me. Take care.